You know, it's probably a little weird to call a cuisine the next big thing, which is what a lot of food writers have been saying about Filipino food. I think it's weird because, you know, of course, it's always been a big thing for the people who eat it and cook it, but there is something happening with Filipino food in America right now. It's a cuisine that's mostly been cooked in homes and neighborhood restaurants in Filipino communities, but as those communities have migrated through the country, and as a new generation of chefs have started to spread the good word of young coconut pastries and roast chicken stuffed with sausages and eggs, more and more people are getting hungry for dishes like buko pie and chicken relleno. So this week, we're all about diving into this fascinating, delicious food. And so we start with Amy Besa. She's a restaurateur in New York City and the award-winning author of Memories of Philippine Kitchens. She's been called the godmother of Filipino food in America, and she's with us to start our show with a kind of overview of the cuisine, where it comes from, how it evolves, and why Spam is such a big deal. Amy, so great to have you here.
Well, thank you, Francis.
So to help people understand, the wide world of Filipino food, you've come up with a pretty clear framework. You divide the food into two sections, basically. One is what you call food that was always ours, and the other is what you call food we borrowed and made our own, which I love. I love that idea and that framework. But let's start with the first category. Can you tell us what are some of the original Filipino dishes and how we can still see their mark on Filipino cuisine today?
Well, there are three dishes which are actually cooking methods. And they are the adobo, sinigang, and kinilaw. Kinilaw is, I hate to say this, but it's like our version of ceviche. And then the sinigang is a sour broth, soured by citruses and sour fruits. And then the adobo, it has a Spanish name, but as the American food scholar Ray Sokolov said, he looked at all the adobos in the Latin hemisphere and we're the only ones that braise our adobos with vinegar. And when I traveled all over the Philippines, I found these three dishes. And what is great is that they are eaten from the richest to the poorest people. And they are united by sourness.
Yeah, and that's so interesting because in a place as hot and as sunny and as tropical as the Philippines, you have lots of native citrus, as you say, but anything with sugar, any fruit or anything like that will ferment pretty quickly, right? So you have all these vinegars that are just sort of natural to
the
place.
You can make vinegar out of anything. You know, I always define Filipino food as everything that grows in our environment and what people do to it to eat and to survive. That's the food that was always ours. And then the food that was borrowed, well, you cannot escape the fact that outside food will always come in. And when I was doing my research, one of my go-to books is Katie Achaya's Handbook of Indian Food. Because one of our Filipino historians told me, we were Hinduized first before anything. That's why we have a lot of Sanskrit in all our languages. So I was going through that book, and then I saw the word Ashoka. And I said, oh my God. Because in our language, in Tagalog, suka means vinegar. So anything, any word, any name that can go back to Sanskrit is a very old ingredient. So, you know, we have a lot of coconuts in the Philippines and the sap. Once you draw that out, within minutes, that will ferment. So it's spontaneous fermentation. What a lot of our food is right now is actually pre-refrigeration. So we do eat a lot of dried meats, dried fish, salted fish, fish sauce, bagong, a lot of fermented things.
And so like a dish like adobo, I often see it as chicken, but it can be pork, it can be fish,
anything.
So it's interesting to me because when I see recipes for adobo, sometimes it's a mixture of soy sauce and vinegar, and sometimes it's almost like one-to-one, and I think, man, that's a lot of vinegar. But every time I've had it, you can taste the sourness, but it's always really balanced.
You know, soy sauce is really not the original ingredient for adobo. That's a Chinese influence. So it's really a balance and harmony between salt and vinegar and the protein. And soy sauce just came later.
So the Philippines was colonized by the Spanish in the 1500s. And at the same time, there was a big rise in Chinese traders who were moving there. So what are some of the dishes that we can still see today that show the influence of Chinese traders and of the Spanish colonists?
Well, we have pancit luglug and lumpia Shanghai, pancit Canton. All of those are noodles and spring rolls. And yet, even though it's called lumpia Shanghai, if you go to Shanghai, you will never see that. You know, pancit Canton, it's not from Canton. It's not Cantonese. It's really Filipino.
Yeah. And what are some dishes that show the Spanish influence?
Well, there, you know, we have the afritada and the morcons, the embutidos, you know, all the stuffed dishes.
Yeah.
Like rellenong manok, which is stuffed chicken.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dishes that have like tomato sauce in it, and so that, and olive oil. So that's very Spanish. But those are very expensive ingredients. So they are considered fiesta fare, like the food of the rich and the elite.
Yeah. And even your use of that word, oh, that's fiesta fare. Like that's the Spanish word for party, which has been taken by Filipinos.
Yeah.
You know, I read something really super interesting in your book, which is something that I never thought about. But you mentioned that when the Philippines were a Spanish colony, it was run out of actually the Spanish colony in Mexico.
Yes.
And so there's, in fact, there's a huge Mexican influence in Filipino food, which I think is totally interesting. And you mentioned dishes like chicken pipián, which is, I mean, pipián is a Mexican dish, a stew of pumpkin seed sauce. And you say there's a Filipino version of that. Can you, and tamales, can you describe some of those Filipino dishes?
Well, the tamales is a very interesting dish that came over, but Filipinos have indigenized it. And instead of cornmeal wrapped in corn husk, we usually use ground rice and wrapped in banana leaves, right? But you know, the Mexican aspect of our culture is quite hidden. Most of the Mexican influences that I knew were from the fruits and the vegetables that came in. The first settlers, when the Spanish started to colonize the Philippines, they were all Mexicans, actually Spanish, who were already settled in Mexico. So when they came, the Spanish that they spoke were Mexican Spanish.
Oh, interesting.
And we have a lot of Nahuatl words in our language.
Oh, wow.
Well, nanay and tatay, which means mother and father, is Nahuatl.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's deep. I mean, if you get to the names for mother and father, that's
exactly
a really deep influence.
The Nahuatl terms are nana and tata.
Oh, wow. And let's move a little forward in history to the early 20th century, where the United States colonized the Philippines for almost 50 years, right? And right up until, I believe, around the time of World War II.
Yeah.
Talk about that influence.
Well, the first thing that the Americans did was to prove to the Filipinos that our diet of rice and fish was inadequate. And so they started bringing in, we were a good market for American products. If you look at what was happening in the United States at that time, canned goods and a lot of like evaporated milk and all that, like skim milk.
And canned meat and corned beef in a can. And
all of those were brought to the Philippines because, you know, there's something about what the Americans produce. They do know how to capture your taste buds, right? I mean, I remember the first time I tasted Spam. I thought, this is heaven.
Spam was delicious.
How
man.
Could anyone invent something like this? And I get so addicted to it. Like, I would look forward to that for breakfast, you know, at the university. For me, one of the most, you know, obvious indigenized American product is the buko pie. You know, it's the young coconut pie.
Describe it for us.
Well, it's a pie, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Americans are all about pies, right? The double-crusted pie. But then we filled it with young coconut. And it is such a classic.
Yeah.
And people really think of it as Filipino.
Yeah.
And then also a lot of chiffon cakes are everywhere. Even the Chinese stores make chiffon cakes.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the influence of the United States.
That's
but
good.
Whenever people say, well, you know, our food is getting lost, I never get worried because we are a people that know how to preserve our food and embrace foreign foods at the same time.
That's great. Thank you so much, Amy.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I always love to speak about Filipino food.
Amy Besa is the author of the award-winning Memories of Philippine Kitchens. You can find her recipe for crispy shrimp and vegetable fritters, called ukoy, at splendidtable.org.